reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's
going the distance. All right, everybody, welcome back. This is the show before the big weekend down at Bud's Creek, the doubleheader. It is going to be an amazing weekend. The temps are going to be in the high 80s, low 90s. Summer is still hanging on. And we are just over the halfway point, a little bit more than halfway here through the season. And I have a special guest with us. Most of you guys know him if you are coming out to the tour races, but he's kind of a sleeper. So some of you guys might not have heard of him just yet, but he is our pro class points leader, the young man named Danger Ranger Emmons. Ranger, are you out there, man?
Yeah, what's up, Luke?
Hey, bud. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. A little before 7 o'clock here on Tuesday before race weekend. And, man, I just wanted to catch up with you, see how your summer was, and, pick your brain about tour racing and, what it's like being the big man on campus. You got a target on your back now as the points leader. And, I'm going to let you start with a little intro, man. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm Ranger Emmons, born and raised in Pemberton, New Jersey, all sand, which everyone makes fun of me because I love to ride in the rocks, but I live in the sand. it's
opposite
cool here. Yeah, exactly. Man, I've been racing since I was 4 years old. It's pretty much all I've done my whole life. And I love to do it, so yeah.
So you've been riding and racing since you were four. How old are you now?
Yep, since I was four. Now I'm 18, so been doing it for a little while.
I'd say, yeah. And historically, what did you grow up racing? What kind of dirt bike racing were you interested in?
So started out on a mini 50 in ECA hair scrambles, raced some NEOCs. Till they went out and raced KTM 50, KTM 65, all through ECA hair scrambles. Raced a YZ 85, mostly just ECAs. Started to do some GNCCs. Messed with like SXCS, US Sprint Enduros. So we were all over the place.
Yeah, all types of off-road stuff, though. Primarily, that's your focus.
Yep. I've done probably 2 motocross races in my whole life. So,
and how did those go?
Not real great there.
Okay.
Once on a 65, and actually once, what was that, 2 weekends ago now?
Oh, yeah.
At the Bud's Creek Amateur Day to get a little preview of the track.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what'd you think about that, being only your second motocross race ever and on one of the premier facilities and such an intimidating track for some, but what was your experience like down there?
I thought it was a great time. Hung out with a bunch of family and friends for the weekend and then just got to have fun riding my dirt bike on Sunday. I wasn't out there racing hard or anything. I was out there just previewing the track for this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, that's, man, brilliant. I give you credit for that. That's totally fine and legal. There's no reason to get up in arms about that. We encourage that stuff. That's why we let everybody, walk or pedal the track on an e-bike beforehand. We want you guys to know what you're getting into, and then that just makes the racing all that much better. And, man, if you're taking advantage of it at least a couple weekends out, nobody's stopping you. So what was the track like? I'll ask you, since you've got a fresh perspective, tell the listeners and some of the tour guys what to expect.
Moto track-wise,
yeah,
the track is beautiful. I mean, they had it freshly groomed and everything. And I mean, like, walking around the parking lot and stuff, if we don't get much rain, it might be a little dusty, but it looks like beautiful, like soft, almost clayish dirt, like prime dirt. Little Rudy walked some of the woods trails around there to see what the woods would look like a little bit. But I think it'll be great.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of good stuff. I'm going to have Tegan on here a little bit later, and he's going to give us a breakdown of everything and tell us what to expect. The wood side and everything, all the trail that him and Jeff been down there cutting in. But yeah, that's what, man, everybody's saying, seems to be saying the same thing, just how awesome the whole facility is and the track conditions, just beautiful dirt, just everything you dream about, especially if you've never been down there before. Personally, I have not. But, you know, I'm one of those guys who's obviously seen it on TV my entire life and read about it in every magazine. And I am just, you know, it's crazy that we get to hold a race there and going to get to spin a few laps around the track. It's just awesome. The whole thing, man. So between the conditions, the history of the track and, it being a, you know, first time for Tor being down there, it's just a recipe for a great weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think it'll be great. And that was that going to the amateur day. That was the first time I'd ever been there. I think it's a really cool place.
Sweet. Parking lot. Can you give us any background on that? What's everything going to be big enough? I'm sure it's a national track facility. There's got to be lots of room for all of our tour guys down there. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know how you guys would lay out the track, but, I mean, like, they have enough parking for all those big rigs and pro pits and everything. I think there'd be plenty of parking, and there's, like, a bunch of parking up front where you would come in. Then I don't know if you guys would use it as parking or as the track. But as you go around the back side of the moto track, there's more grass fields back there. The pros, pro motocross, use it as parking because so many people come to watch. But
gotcha.
I don't know if you guys will use that as grass track.
I have no idea what to expect yet. I haven't been down, and I have not really talked to Tegan other than bits and pieces, so I don't know what to expect as far as grass track. I know we are going to be running the whole moto track. That's for sure. So there's been a lot of questions about that. But, yeah, moto track is definitely getting run. I know there's going to be some whiners about it, but it's going to be – it's all par for the course, man. And anyway, let's get away from talking about this upcoming weekend. Let's just focus on you a little bit more here and what you got going on with Tor and all your dirt bike racing and everything here. So, man, I've had you up on the podium more than one time this season, and I know that you have pretty much committed. I want to hear from you, though. Tell us, what is your current focus right now as the points leader? Did this just kind of become something that you weren't really prepared for, or was this something you had on your mind going into this season?
Well, I came into the season just wanting to have fun. I mean, that's how I go into everything, dirt bike racing, really. And like the first round or two wasn't so hot, and then like I just stayed consistent pretty much, like on the podium every weekend. I've still yet to win one, but I think the consistency has just helped so much. But yeah, even now I'm just in it for the fun of it. I mean, don't get me wrong, winning a championship would be amazing, but I'm just there to have fun.
Well, you sound very humble. I know when I have you up there on the podium, it seems like all the fast guys, you know, are friendly with each other, or friendly enough. And I know you got some of the big guys looking out for you, and they like to rib you up there on the podium. What's your relationship like with some of these other pro guys?
Well, I'm pretty sure the pro guy you're referring to would be Mike.
Yeah. Tell us about your relationship.
Well, him and my dad have been racing enduros for forever now.
Okay. I didn't realize there was a lot of family history.
Yeah. So my dad grew up racing with like Jack Sr. and all Mike and his brothers for years and years. So like, that's how I know them. And like, we every once in a while we'll get together and ride, but it's really just cool to race with him. Cause I mean, he's won how many pro national championships for enduros?
He's a Mr. 8-time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the way he rides a track and his first lap speed is insane. And like to choose his lines and see where he rides where like most other people will miss, it's just,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, so that's crazy. You got some family history there and a great mentor. And it's I love the banter between you two guys. It is hilarious. And especially it makes it even better when I've got you both on the podium at the same time. He seems like Mike's always got, he always seems like he knows the right thing to say to get you fired up.
Oh, he truly does.
So I'm looking at it right now, man. You have an 11-point lead right now over Robert Wise. I don't know if he is going to be making it down to Bud's Creek this weekend. I might be wrong, but I think I saw that he might be out with an injury. I'm not sure. Did you hear? Are you friends with Rob at all? Did you talk to him?
Yeah. Robert, he goes by Chris.
Chris, okay.
Maybe 15 minutes from my house. When he wasn't hurt, we'd ride all the time together. At the moment, I believe it's his left knee, one of his knees, is
tweaked out.
Yeah, unusable. He had to get surgery on it.
Oh, man.
He's probably a month out now, so I don't think he'll be returning for the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, we're good friends. Ride all the time. Mm-hmm. Went to school together. So.
Cool. I didn't realize that you guys were I didn't realize you were so close in age, and I didn't realize that you were so like basically neighbors.
Yeah.
And so that leaves Dylan Hicks in third place, and he was only 12 points back. So he was one off second and 12 off of you. Do you know Dylan at all?
I know Dylan. He's a little bit older than me. I remember when I was kids looking up to him and the rest of the fast kids in ECA when I was younger, and now to race them, I think it's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean when you're looking up to those older guys in the next class. It's that was always like you know, hanging out with Teague, and it was always cool to see the youngsters, you know, always looking up to him, you know, and it was, we were always looking up to him as well, but it's just weird perspective when then you're on the track with them and hanging out with them.
Yeah.
So it's funny for me to even hear you talking about Dylan like that, because Dylan's local to me too. He lives very close. I'm you know, good friends with him and his family and everything.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious seeing him all grown up now too, and then you talking about looking up to him, and I can remember him when he was a little ankle biter too.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's cool. I've talked to him every once in a while, but yeah, no, I just remember looking up to him when I was younger.
So then behind that is Hunter Bush, and he's 22 points out, man. So this is a big weekend for you, you know, depending on who shows up and who's actually able to come away clean and put some points up on the board here, man. This could be a big weekend for you to put some serious distance between the rest of the pack, man, the way things are shaking out. I don't want to gas you up too much, man, but it's got to feel pretty good going into this this weekend, knowing it's a doubleheader and you've got two full you know, rounds of racing to come away with some points. Like, I, you know, you sound calm, cool, and collected talking about just looking to have fun before each weekend or each race, anytime you're on your bike. But does this weekend, you know, be thinking about it any differently? You're going into this weekend with a different type of mindset?
A little bit. I'm kind of looking more forward to it because it's a two-day format. I have a feeling some people could get tired out, and I'm an endurance racer. Like, doing 3 hours at a GNCC is my thing. So, like, people getting tired out could be a factor in this weekend's race.
No doubt, man.
Two days of racing is a lot. But it feels good to have a little bit of a lead. The only thing I'm afraid of is you'll get that one local moto guy that shows up that absolutely rips in the moto track. And I'm not the hottest in the moto, so...
Hey, man, you never know. But I have heard some rumors. There might be some pretty big names, I would say, for the local region that people might be familiar with. I don't want to give too much away yet, but yeah, keep your eye out. keep your guys' eyes out there. But that is, you know, you don't got to worry about that guy too much. You know, if he's going to be stealing a moto win or something like that from you, hopefully he doesn't, you know, run you off the moto track or anything, you know, just so, as long as you can salvage some points. I think you can handle yourself. You're not giving yourself enough credit, especially after you were out there creeping on the track last week.
Yeah, man.
So, dude, what's your training like? You know, you're running the top of the, you know, the top ranks here. You're the pro class leader, the points leader. You've got what it takes to win a race. I know you haven't done it just yet, but you've got what it takes. What's it take to, you know, to come show up physically ready every round? You just talked about it a little bit there, saying that you were an endurance guy. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So my workout regimen, you could say, I mean, it's not the greatest, if I'm being honest. I try and get up 3 to 4 times a week to go to the gym with my dad. He's up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. He's a little crazy. But other than that, try to ride at least once or twice throughout the week. And then if it's not a race weekend, I pretty much ride all weekend long. But like, I'll go down and ride with Rich Lafferty, train a little bit. Or recently, I've been going to Callahan MX school like once every month or so, and he's been helping me a lot.
Nice.
To get faster.
Working on what, like mainly like technique and stuff, or what's he really helping you with?
Technique, trying to get my corners better, because I'm good at carrying speed, but like I'm good in flat corners, but when you get into the ruts and stuff, that's when I struggle a little bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, because living in the sand, there's no ruts. We can just blow a corner out or cut up wherever we want. So when you get in them in the soil where it's a little slicker and there's ruts start to form, I just struggled a little bit, and he's been helping me a lot with that. Pretty much just cornering, of course, and technique.
That's good, man. I've talked about it before on the show that people, you know, shouldn't be afraid to ask for help, even if you're at the top of your level. You know, it always helps to have somebody picking out your form. You know, even if you think you've got it all figured out, there's something to learn from other people who have done it before, longer or better than you.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'll be the first to tell you, my form is like horrible. I might go fast, but if you ever see me ride a dirt bike, I look like the wonkiest person.
You're pretty tall. How tall are you? Tell the listeners how tall you are.
I like to tell people I'm 5'11" as a joke, but in reality, I'm like 6'3", pushing 6'4". little tall for a dirt bike rider. But I mean, Tegan's just as tall.
He
as
is.
Me,
yeah, you make it work.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's an advantage in some spots, like when I get up in the rocks and stuff and like other people can't reach out. Well, I just stick my leg out and the ground seems to be right there.
But
it's a little more, bit more of a workout to go from sitting to standing. I got so much more distance to travel.
Ah, okay. I don't have to think about that. I'm a short guy. I don't have much distance to travel.
Nah, so I either
yeah, it's a lot of energy just standing up and down on the bike for you.
Yeah, I'll have a problem. I'll stand up and I won't sit back down because I'm too lazy to sit back down, or yeah. vice versa. I'll
yeah, once down, you get locked in, you're kind of stuck there.
Yeah, pretty much. So I've been working on trying to move more on the bike.
So traditionally, are you more like, I know you're just, Are you more of a stander, or do, like you said, or is it really just whichever you get locked into? Are you more of a stander or a sitter?
Nah, I'm definitely more of a stander. I can sit down like when the track is flat, but mm-hmm. as soon as it gets like a little choppy, I'll stand up all day long.
See, now it's, I was wondering if it was a tall guy thing, because Tegan's the opposite. Tegan likes to sit a lot. He always had a goofy kind of form where he always was sitting, pushing through all the tight woods and everything where everybody else would be standing. So I was wondering if maybe you had the same affliction.
Honestly, it depends on the track. Some tracks I'd rather sit, but most of the time, nah, I'll stand up and try and let the bike flow underneath of me.
Mm-hmm.
Try to. Nah, I'm a stander for sure.
So are you doing anything else for working with the trainer and everything on the bike? Are you doing anything off the bike to stay fit?
Yeah, like I was saying, I try to get up 3 to 4 times a week, go to the gym with my dad, and that's pretty much just weight training.
Okay.
Get stronger, And then, like, when I come home, we got a pool in the backyard. I'll go swim a few laps in the pool. Or every once in a while I'll go for a run. But really, I just like to ride and train.
Yeah, that's what they say the best. best workout, best training is being on the bike anyway.
Yeah.
So aside from dirt bike racing, man, you told me that you just graduated last year from high school. What is the rest of your life looking like right now outside of dirt bikes?
Outside of dirt bikes, I just graduated, and about maybe a week and a half after I graduated, I got into the electrical union. So,
oh, you're Sparky.
Yeah, yep. Been doing that for like 2 months now, and that's probably what I'll be doing for the next 5-10 years. I'd like to hopefully one day own my own electrical business. That's the real goal.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just an apprentice, so I got to go through my 5-year apprenticeship. Sure. And then I become a journeyman and then save up some money and hopefully start my own business.
It's not a bad gig, man. I have a cousin who just did the same thing recently. You know, it took him, you know, all those years that you're talking about, but finally went out on his own, started his own business and all that good stuff. The electrical field is definitely, any of the trades, honestly, it's a great way to go. So is that a family thing, or are you the first one stepping into this field?
No, I'm definitely the first one stepping into this field. My dad works at Princeton University, and he's a stationary engineer, works on boilers. And
stuff. Wow. Did you say at Princeton?
Yeah.
Huh. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
No, my mom's a school teacher. I was looking, because I went to a technical school for high school.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose like 4 classes and you get to explore them.
Sure.
And then pretty much for all 4 years of high school, that's what we did. You go to like your regular English and math and
yep.
stuff,
but yep.
I chose electrical. And the way I looked at it is I could earn the most money without doing like an insane amount of abuse on my body, even though I raced dirt bikes.
Like, yeah. Well, you're a smart man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you talked to you about mom and pop there for a second. Now tell us about the rest of your family. I know that you have a bunch of racers in the Emmons family. Tell us about the rest of the team.
Yeah, so dad races. He's been racing for forever now. So does my little brother and little sister. My little sister, much anymore, just shows up every once in a while. Races at an ECA. She did some of the tours earlier this year. She's just out there for the fun. My little brother, he's just out there to shit talk his
man. Cause a ruckus.
Oh my gosh, he's got a mouth. He can back up. He can back it up sometimes, and I mean he's getting faster for sure. We got to get him training a little more. He likes to just sit around at home.
And that's Tanner.
Yeah, that's Tanner. He races schoolboy, and he was on the Super Mini, but at Rocket this year, he tried to double their big step-up they have, their triple step-up, and he over-jumped it and broke his ankle on the Super Mini. So that's it. That was it. You're done. So now he's just racing schoolboy, and he should be back by probably the end of the year, if not definitely by the beginning of next year.
Okay, that's a bummer. Yeah, I didn't realize he was injured. When did he race? Was he at Hancock?
No, he was not. No, just me and my dad went off to that one.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember last time I had him up on the podium.
Nah, last time would have been, what was the one before Hancock? I can't think of the name of it. Wasn't it Wentz's?
Yeah, Wentz's. Yeah, it would have been Eagle's Nest.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, nah, that was the last tour he did. He had hurt himself before the one up in New York, Hancock.
Bummer. So basically, are we down to you is what you're telling me?
At the moment, yes. My dad will be racing this weekend.
Oh, will he? I don't think I knew that he was out there too. What class is he racing?
The old man class.
Has he been hitting, or is this a rarity?
Oh no, he races every once in a while. He had not tweaked his knee, but he's got a bad knee. I shouldn't say bad, it's okay. It's just like it'll get like swollen every once in a while.
Yeah, he's got a trick knee.
Yeah. And so like a snowshoe, he was pedaling around on a bicycle a lot, and it started to bother him a little bit. So he took a break for a little while, but he did like most of the ones in Jersey earlier this year, and he'll be back this weekend to race. He races like a super senior, the old man class.
Okay, I got to keep an eye out for him now too. He'll be on my list.
Yeah. No. Within the next year, he'll be in Masters. So.
I'm not quite there yet. I had my first age class race this year, racing but in the vet 30 plus class, which it doesn't get any easier. It's like, what the hell? I might as well have not done this to begin with.
No, you'd honestly be better to race like A250.
Yeah, we're just any open class.
There are so many guys in the like A30 plus or like A40 plus class. Those lines are huge every weekend.
Yeah, hey, we're not turning them away. Those are the guys we want to have filling the lines. But no, it does not make it any easier for somebody like me who's just trying to be like, all right, sweet, old man class. Just kidding.
Nah, they're more competitive than
honestly, yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of competition, what was your favorite battle from this year? I know you've been hammering down with some fast guys. We talked about a few of them there. Any one of them in particular that stand out?
Oh, Michael, for sure. Obviously.
Lafferty.
I mean, yeah. Yep.
He won't leave you alone, huh?
Nah, everyone else is fun to battle with, and I really struggle with, like, my first lap speed. Everyone else goes out there and goes super fast their first lap, and, like, as an endurance rider, I just struggle with it. So, like, I'm normally back on the first lap or two, which then I got to come back through the pack to get up front, and catching up to Michael all the time. The first moto always loves to give a little battle. Always.
Yeah, that's why he still has it left a little bit. He's still got a little left to give you a little something in the tank.
It's fun. Like at this past one in New York, I had caught him, and he was going up through that hill in the extreme section like it was flat ground. Like,
yeah. He's got a way of putting the power to the ground. You got something with the traction, geography, physics. I'm not sure which one it is.
No, that belly has helped a little bit too. And he would just like tractor up the hill, and I couldn't compete with him there. But the rest of the track, I was a little faster than him. And like I said, the first moto, I battled with him and Bush without a foot peg going.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
Stupid fast still somehow. And I battled with him and Bush, and I just kept making like little dumb mistakes, and it cost me positions, but it was a great time just battling with those guys.
So that was Hancock, you're saying, and that was you were really just going after it with Mike that time.
Yeah. Yep. Hancock up in New York.
And what about any, like, all right, now let's just back it down for a second. Someone back on everybody else's page or on planet Earth still. What about one of these, you know, I don't want to call them an amateur, but like somebody who's not an 8-time national champion, who are you finding yourself battling with out there?
Oof. I don't know. Every race is different. Like at the first round of the year, I battled with Max for a while until he crashed really hard. And then after that, pretty much anybody at which one was that? Not the Judge. I can't think of the name of the one. The new place you guys had.
Oh, was the one in Elmer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that one. I battled with Kyle there for a little bit. That was cool. And Mike. I battle with him at every round for some reason.
He's either got your number or vice versa. You guys seem like you're glued at the hip.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from him. But the old man can ride.
Yeah, it's no doubt.
It changes up every weekend. At Wentz's Eagle's Nest, I battled with Kyle Grenowitz for most of that. Both of those motos. And Hicks. I battled with Hicks the second moto. And then, in New York, first moto I battled with Michael and Bush, and then in the second moto I could see Bush and Ryan Amancio in front of me, but they stayed like 15, 20 seconds in front of me the whole moto, and I just wasn't able to catch up to them.
Yeah, what'd you think about the fella coming down from New England there? Have you ever raced against Amancio before? He's, I think he's right around your age.
Yeah, I think he's a little younger than
me.
Raced him like once or twice in the GNCCs, never in the same class, but always like compare results and stuff, like overall wise. But that's the first time I raced with him in the same class, and I'll give it to him. He's fast, that's for sure.
Yeah, he put on a show for sure. It was crazy. All three of you guys were battling that weekend. Where did you end up? Yeah. Did you just miss out on the podium? I just clicked off the results. Where did you end up at Dry Branch?
No, not Dry Branch, at
Hancock. Yeah, fourth.
I ended up third there, I believe.
Was it?
Fourth overall. But
okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dang, man. It's crazy to think we're almost... The summer's over. I'm just looking at the dates here in the schedule. After this weekend, then we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 races left. It's crazy that it's already halfway through, and this weekend's going to fly by, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, me too, man. It's just going to be so much fun being down there. And in fact, it's a doubleheader, and then we've got the pit bike racing going on Saturday night, the barrel racing. It's just going to be all around good time for sure.
Yep.
All right. Now we're coming up here on our rapid fire questions. before I go down the line here, just these questions that I ask all the guys at the end of a podcast, I'm just going to give you a chance real quick to give a shout out to anybody and thank anybody that helps you get to the races and all that stuff.
I mean, of course, shout out my mom and dad. They do everything. I shouldn't say everything. They do pretty much everything. Besides ride the dirt bike. I mean, they're a huge help with everything. And then Michael helps me out here and there during the races, pointers and stuff. Callahan MX School, like I was saying earlier, he's been helping me a lot lately, like getting faster in the corners with my cornering speed and my like posture and stuff while I'm riding pretty much. True Ride Suspension, my suspension guy, he's great, just like right in PA for me, so he's super close and he's always got my stuff set up right. Rich Lafferty, go down there, train with him sometimes. He's great to ride with. I wear his gloves, love his gloves, actually. They're thick, so I don't get blisters on my hands, because it just gets annoying when you
what's that brand name?
Rich Lafferty, RLR Gloves. He's at most of the tour races. He'll probably be there this weekend, too. Look for his little gray van with the sign out in front of it. But his gloves, the palms are nice and thick on them. So don't get blisters, because racing 30 minutes, but you're pushing fast. If you get blisters the first moto, or your hands get rubbed a little bit raw...
Yeah, you're shot out for the next race.
Yeah, they're stinging that second moto. And especially with the two-day format coming up, if your hands are all tore up the first day, the second day, they're really going to be hurting.
This show is not sponsored by Rich Lafferty, RLR.
I'm sorry.
Putting that disclaimer out there, but it sounds like you're a pretty good salesman for him, honestly. I didn't know that that was the deal behind those gloves, thicker pads and all that. I'm going to have to check a pair of those out.
Oh, yeah. No, they're thicker palms. They help my hands from not getting blistered.
Cool.
Mount Holly Motorsports, they help us out with parts and deals and stuff on bikes. And everyone else that supports me, I always say it. You always make fun of me on the podium for saying it.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. I need to know the story behind this, too.
Okay, well, it's G-Maha, Turtle, Gator. And Pop-Off.
So, no, tell us the story.
So Gima, that's my grandmother. She helps us out with like food and stuff. Turtle, that's my aunt. Her name is Cheryl.
Okay.
And when we were younger, we couldn't say it. So like her nickname just became Turtle. Okay. Now that's what we call her. And
totally acceptable.
She helps us out a lot too. And then Gator. That's my aunt and uncle. They live in Florida.
Okay, so makes sense.
They got nicknamed Gator, and then Pop-Up is my grandfather. And they all just help us out with, like, money and stuff.
Yeah, and getting you to help you get to the races and everything.
Yeah, and gear and stuff like that. Some parts and plastics for the bike. So
yeah, awesome, man. You got a great team behind you. Now that I know all the fam squad now behind all the nicknames, I won't be so hard on you when you're chopping them off. Oh man, that's hilarious. I'm glad to know now. Anybody else you got on that list, bud?
I believe that's all.
Cool.
I mean, thanks to everyone else who supports me, cheers me on. So yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to finish this up here with the rapid fire questions. And it's just going to be quick 5 questions. I always say rapid fire, but you can take as long or as little as you need. Starting here at the very top, number 1, your favorite rider of all time.
Favorite rider of all time? Oof. That's a rough one. It changes often. But if I had to say right now, it's got to be AP, Aaron Plessinger.
Sweet.
Even though I don't race motocross or supercross, watching it, I've been watching him since he turned pro pretty much when I was probably like 12.
Yeah.
And I just always loved him. Country boy, came from racing GNCCs and stuff, and now he's doing it full time, and I've always looked up to that. So yeah, definitely AP.
It could be you one day.
Maybe.
All right, next one. E-bikes, yay or nay? E-dirt bikes.
E-dirt bikes, like the...
like a Stark or one of those other like ones.
Star. I'm gonna have to go nay. I mean, it's a cool concept and all, but just gas dirt bike for me. And I was watching, there was a guy on a Stark at the last one, the one in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the name again already. When he got stuck on that hill, it seemed hard for him to get traction. Like, as soon as that rear wheel broke traction, the wheel would just spin. And on a gas bike, 2-stroke, 4-stroke, you can lug them up the hills. You can't really lug electric.
That's an interesting perspective that you saw that out there on the track.
Yeah.
So nay for e-bikes. I'm the same way.
Nay.
All right. And this leads into the next question. 2 or 4 strokes?
Oh, see, I've run 4 strokes, or I'm sorry, 2 strokes pretty much my whole life. And they're great and all, but I think I'll be switching a 4-stroke next year just because they've got more power coming out of the corner. And, like, learning on a 2-stroke is great. I think it helps so much with, like, learning how to, like, carry momentum more because there's no engine braking. So you got to learn how to carry momentum more around the corners and stuff, because a 4-stroke, you can lug it into a corner and you'll just have power right out of the corner. So, like, 2-stroke helps with that. And, like, a 125, of course, helps you with shifting, not getting lazy, sitting in one gear. So I definitely think learning on a 2-stroke, but I'm going to go 4-stroke.
Okay. And what are you racing at right now? This is a side question, not in the rapid fire. What are you racing at Tour? What's your weapon of choice?
So I have a 2023 Gas MC250 2-stroke.
Okay.
So, yep, I'm on a 2-stroke.
Yeah,
right,
so
now
looking to get away from it next year, though.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. Need more power coming out of the corners.
Yeah, put on your big boy pants.
Yep.
All right, moving right along here. 2 more rapid-fire questions. This is one that you're the first person I'm asking this to, and it's kind of a hot topic amongst my riding buddies, and I figure this is a great way to start polling the masses is by working it into my rapid-fire questions. Barkbusters or flags? What are you running?
Oh, so for the longest time, I ran Barkbusters. And currently, I run flags, but I don't run, like, the really flimsy flags. Like, I run the Enduro Engineering, the little bit stiffer ones.
Okay.
But for me, I'm going to say flags right now because that's what I'm running. But for me, it doesn't matter. Either way, I'm going to bounce off the trees, whether it's Barkbusters or flags. The only thing Barkbusters saved was me from smashing my fingers, which is nice sometimes, but...
I agree. Yeah, see, I think I'm a Barkbusters guy. I tried flags at the National Enduro this year and just got my fingers crushed.
Yeah, no, I definitely think starting out, Barkbusters definitely helped. But now that I'm a little faster and I can dodge some of the trees, not all of them, I like to run flags.
Okay, all right, noted, flag guy. And then, since I know you're still a baby, you are not getting asked the R-rated questions about booze or anything like that. So I'm going to ask you a very easy question. Chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Oh, vanilla. I'm a very basic person. I got to go vanilla.
All right. And with that, we're going to wrap, dude. Vanilla ice cream. And when we come back to this podcast, another maybe, what's it, like going to be 2 or 3 years here until you're 21, then we'll ask some of the other questions there for the rapid fire. But, man, you've been a great interview. Like always, I appreciate you being candid and talking about your racing program and, you know, what your family life is like and all that good stuff. And, I'm excited to see you down at Buds Creek this weekend, man. Do you have any anything else you'd like to share before we wrap?
Nah, that's pretty much it. I mean, just thanks for having me, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing you too this weekend.
Cool.
Hopefully up on the podium.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I'm sure I'll bump into you in the pit, but I want to see you up on the podium where it counts, man. Keeping that points lead protected. And, man, next time I see it, well I guess it's this week. I was gonna say it's 2 weeks, man. It's here, it's the end of this week, so man, I'll see, yeah, I will see you this weekend. I almost said in 2 weekends. So all right, man, with that, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I will catch you down at Buds Creek, bro.
All right, thank you, man.
Yep, talk to you soon, have a good night. Okay, so we just wrapped up our interview with Ranger Emmons there, Danger Ranger. And now we're going to transition into another conversation here with an old buddy of mine. And he also happens to be sponsoring the Pro Purse for this weekend. If you guys have not heard about it yet, there is a little over $2,000, honestly, towards the end of the weekend. If you were to be racing in the, let's say you double dipped, you raced Pro 125, the Dash for Cash, and then you raced in the Pro class. And you've got your normal purse payouts, which are based on number of attendees in the pro class. You're still getting that normal payout, which usually is somewhere around, you know, $500, $600, sometimes $800. And then on top of that, we are also paying $2,000 out to the top three overall pro riders from both rounds, 7 and 8. Again, this is a doubleheader this weekend. So the combined results from Saturday and Sunday. And the tie going, of course, to the best Sunday scores. So the payout will be as follows. First place is going home with $1,000. Second place, $600. And third place, $400. And in case I confused you with that, I'll just say it one more time a little bit slower. So basically all we're doing is combining the results from both days. So they're two separate races. So in total, it's 4 motos, but 2 separate races, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. And we're taking the best combined finish from Saturday and the best combined finishes from Sunday. And that is how we are going to determine the doubleheader champions, if you will. So that's another better way to put it, the doubleheader championship. Again, going first place, $1,000, second place, $600, and third place, $400, on top of the normal payouts that you guys get in those classes. So we have someone special to thank for that. His name is Robbie Wiggins, and without further ado, I'm going to bring Robbie onto the show. Robbie, do I still have you on the line?
Hey, Luke, how's it going, bud?
What's up, man? So you and I have known each other pretty much for our entire lives, and we got a lot of racing and riding, growing up together, all that good stuff, and now you're doing things a little bit differently, but still involved in the motorcycle scene. So tell us a little bit about yourself, man, your background in riding and all that good stuff, and what are you up to nowadays?
Oh, you know, no more riding too much. Just kind of taking a step back from the two wheel stuff. But yeah, no, you go back, you know, we've worked together, ridden together, raced together. I don't think there's much on the table in terms of me and you, but yeah. From your,
nobody
your
cares.
Podcast fans. Yeah. No, I grew up racing with Luke and pretty much spent my whole age as a motocross kid. Transitioned to a supermoto rider in 2007, right before everything started to go sideways with supermoto. But there was a brief stint in 2016 when AMA came back a little bit stronger, so we went all in on a bike building effort to get to all the races there. So yeah, my job now is I work in the insurance world. I insure pretty much anything and everything, including race bikes and your builds and your enduro bikes, your adventure bikes, whatever you guys are into, take care of you. And it's not just the bikes, we do parts. You know, I've got my old bike build in front of me with my receipts back in 2016. There was about $18,000 into a supermoto bike between wheels, suspension, clutches, brakes, polished transmission, triple clamps, and then so forth and so on.
And
so,
you're saying that this is something that you took advantage of yourself?
Yeah, so you can, as long as you have your title and your parts list and your receipts, you know, we can definitely put a package together that would cover pretty much anything and everything for you. But, you know, in today's world with stuff going missing, theft is pretty big concern for most people, I feel like. Whether it's in your garage or the side of the road or you're, you know, at the hotel. So
sure.
It's been,
no one's immune to it, and it can happen anywhere, honestly.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody knows, even with your regional series of tour, there's still a good bit of travel for a lot of people. So
sure.
You're driving down the road, there's the unknown. You blow a tire, you got to leave your trailer, you know, those kind of things. We can help you avoid leaving your trailer on the side of the road, hopefully, and stuff goes missing. So no, I've been there. I've been through it. I know what a racer's mindset is. It's not just the bike. It's your pride that you put into it. None of us are really making a living at it. Even at the local, you know, at this local level, we're doing our best to pay our bills. And there's a lot of time and energy, and people,
no doubt,
people deserve to be protected. So just making sure, you know, I understand what you're doing. You understand what I'm doing. And if anybody needs anything, you know, reach out. And that's why I want to be involved, is to kind of spread the word a little bit more, you know, more than the blanket.
Yeah, man, I feel like it's such an underutilized thing, and people don't, you know, it's probably because most people don't even know that they're eligible for it. You know, it's, you hear these horror stories of people losing their stuff, but every once in a while I see, you know, one of them, you know, people get, you know, posting or whatever, saying my bikes were stolen or whatever, but luckily I had insurance on this one, or this wasn't short or whatever. And it's like, you know, that's 1 in 10. I feel like, you know, it's a very slim that you see that,
yeah,
the person actually was protected and, you know, is going to see a payback and, or, you know, a new bike out of it. It's like, tell us like, what's a typical, you know, worst case scenario. Somebody breaks into my house tonight, steals my brand new bike. It was insured. You know, they also grab my gear bag and my helmet. What's that look like once I call you?
So, all right. So we actually have an example of this from 2015.
Okay.
A friend of mine, we were out in Colorado, and his gear bag went missing.
Mm-hmm.
He lives up in Massachusetts. We went, stopped and got some sandwiches after one of the races. We were heading back to actually our mutual buddy Mike's house out there.
No, okay.
And we got back in the truck, and my gear bag was still sitting there, so we didn't think much of it because mine was on top. I had a ratty looking gear bag. There was nothing special about it. So yeah, my buddy gets in, and Jake's gear. We got back to Mike's house, and Jake's gear bag was missing. So first thing we did, called the police. Obviously, reported it stolen. Got the police report, and that gear's a little tricky. So gear can fall under a couple different categories. It can fall under your homeowners, it may be under your RV insurance or your travel insurance, or your travel trailer insurance, could fall under your auto. In this situation, we didn't own the truck. So, you know, we backtrack a little bit. It ended up going under their homeowners. He had a good inventory of everything in his receipts. So cut and dry, pay the deductible, put your claim through, and sometimes that works that way. But the worst case scenario is waking up, right one night before you go on racing, your truck, trailer, and your bikes are gone. Everything you have is locked and loaded in that trailer, and it's no longer with you. So what do you do? Well, your auto insurance covers your truck. If you have travel trailer insurance, that's covered on there. And then at the end of the day, your dirt bikes are always going to fall into a gray area if they're not individually insured. They have a VIN number, you have a title, you can get a policy on them. Biggest thing that's going to happen is a lot of people think their homeowner's going to cover it. Oh, it was in my garage or it was in my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cut it. That is looked at as a vehicle with a title. A lot of homeowners companies are going to deny it.
Mm.
So spending the $75 or $100 a year on your dirt bike insurance is kind of well worth it, even at the base level.
So that's really all we're talking about to get, you know, like pretty much bare minimum coverage is looking like, you know, around $100 for the year.
Theft coverage, yep. And then, you know, there's always add-ons, but we'll stick with the, your bikes are in your garage, they get stolen, how do you get them covered? Whether you do $100 deductible, $500 deductible, as long as you have comprehensive coverage on there, they'll mm-hmm. be covered on the back end for theft. So it's a gray area. Without it, with it, peace of mind. So I think just living it, you know, seeing things happen, and it happens. We all see it on
for sure.
Like you said, we see it on Facebook, we see it here and there. So,
yeah, no one's immune.
No, it's definitely not an immunity, and I think being involved with you guys will help, especially with this opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah, spread the word here.
Word around, you know.
No doubt. Yeah, it's important.
So, yeah.
So again, here you mentioned a couple of other things there. Do you also offer RV insurance, and do you recommend that for the typical racer who is throwing all their stuff? You mentioned, you know, locking away all of their personal goods inside of a trailer. You come out from the hotel room and it's gone.
Yeah.
So walk us through that.
RV insurance. Well, you got your travel trailers, which are towable. Your fun movers, which are, you know, have the garage in the back. Those are usually drivable. You got your toy haulers, which are, again, just like a travel trailer. So you can add personal belonging coverage to those. And, you know, for the most part, this is for the average racer. If it's your personal belongings and this is your protective gear, it's sitting in your trailer gets stolen or your camper gets stolen, you want to have that little bit extra because you're still out, you know, what's a set of boots these days?
Oh, man, good pair. Yeah, like at least $500-$600, maybe even more.
Yeah, you throw a helmet in there, things start adding up. And, you know, if you're going to have personal belonging coverage and you got to pay the deductible for your RV getting stolen, you might as well get all your gear out of it.
Yeah.
It's again, as long as you have that comprehensive coverage on there, making sure you have those add-ons. A lot of companies, you know, there's standard rates. Some companies are $3,000 for personal belongings involved. Some are as low as $1,500. It just comes down to the carrier. So just make sure you're asking the questions when you're going through the quote mm-hmm. process.
And so, like,
hey, how do I max this out?
Right. You know, yeah. I want to make sure I got every little, you know, every glove and every sock covered.
Right.
So what are the, let me ask you this. What are the, what are the requirements for this? Like, do you have to have, is it for newer bikes only? Do you have to have, a registration, like a valid registration or a valid title? Like what's the scoop on that?
State of Pennsylvania. I'm going to stick to, cause that's,
fair enough.
My number one. No, that's where I live. That's where I eat. That's where I breathe. State of Pennsylvania, we do require that you should at least have a title, or if it's financed, obviously you can get a title.
Right.
So we would need your finance information, and if you have a title in hand, perfect. That way, when the claim comes about, get your, you know, get your police reports, get your title in.
Mm-hmm.
We submit the claim, and then whatever your deductible was for that comprehensive, it'll cover it. And like I said, if you have a pretty intense build, you got a sweet 790 Adventure. Sitting there with all the bells and whistles from the dealership, you know, A-kit suspension and your bags and your GPS and you know, you start adding up all this stuff. Keep your receipts, scan them into your computer, or when you buy the bike, it comes with your bike build list. Maybe when you order it, you go to certain dealerships, they'll give you a whole breakdown. Just send that right over to your agent, put it in your email, save it, have it available, and if something does happen, you want to make sure that all of those things are accounted for on the front end.
And so suppose if I, you know, like you just mentioned, ordering the bike with a set of shocks on it or forks, But suppose I have my own stuff here that I sent to one of our lovely sponsors, let's just say JDP Suspension. If I send my forks out to JDP and, you know, I spend a bunch of money with those guys, they send them back. Is there a way for me to insure the parts? Like, is that considered an aftermarket, or am I on the hook for that myself?
No, that would be considered aftermarket. It would go into, again, it depends on the carrier. The carrier I work with will, we can add that onto the bike itself. So
okay.
Increase the value of the bike. And we would just, again, need the receipt for proof of it. So one of the things that we go over at training is a lot of guys will go, well, I have my stock suspension, and I bought a WPA kit, just for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most popular one. Vet riders love it. I fall in that category. you got a WPA kit sitting there on your bike. Bike goes missing, you still have your stock suspension. We still pay you that claim, would, as long as that suspension is on that policy.
Right.
Under the additional coverages.
You're still paying, getting paid out for that.
Yep. So your $6,000 suspension on your $12,000 bike is an $18,000 payout. You want it. Even if your bike's older,
cow.
It's $2,000 payout. You know, you got what you get. You get what you can afford. You're racing it. You're riding it. You're loving it. It's an 01-125. You know, these vintage bikes that are sitting around, and I'm calling them vintage.
watch your tongue.
Yeah, watch my tongue, right? We're calling them vintage bikes these days. But, no, as long as you have a title for that, you know, you might have to do an agreed value. You may not want to do what they say it's worth, because, you know, if they hand you a check for $500, you're not going to pack it.
Right.
So there's a certain point, you know, you might cross a bridge or a price point. But, hey, that YZ125, you got parts on it. It's in mint condition. You want to say, hey, I want this insured for $3,000 or $4,000. There's ways to do it.
Okay.
There's nothing out of the question. But in Pennsylvania, if you don't have a title, that's where like I said, if it's finance, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
COs get tricky, mainly because if you have a CO from out of state, the state of Pennsylvania sometimes wants to verify the VIN number physically. So when you go to register something at an auto tags place, at Wiggins Auto Tags in Chester County, you know.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. They might have to verify your VIN number in person. So just be assured that you buy the bike. If you're going to insure it, you can get a title. That's very critical to the whole conversation. Basically, no title, no proof you own it.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in muddy water, and you just bought a policy that probably won't pay out.
And hey, if you're not sure, just pick up the phone and call Robbie here at Wiggins Insurance, which leads me to my next question. Where can people find you?
Well, you know, I'm sophisticated these days. I am. My new website should be done soon, but we're on the Google.
Okay.
We show up.
Mm-hmm.
We show up now on the Google search. So if you Google Wiggins Insurance, Westchester, Pennsylvania, we show up. If you Google Wiggins Insurance Agency, you might get somebody in South Carolina or where's the other guy? Alabama or Tennessee, I can't remember. That's not me. Make sure it's the Westchester, Pennsylvania location. If you can't find me there, you can email me at insurancewiggins@gmail.com. I'd be happy to talk to you. I work in Delaware, Pennsylvania, and Maryland mainly. If you are in any of the other states, I can direct you to my friends in the industry who I can help walk through what we're talking about today.
Cool.
So,
Well, you've definitely educated me. I need to get up on my insurance policies here on my two old beaters. I'm looking at them right now. I don't know what they're worth. Like you said, probably $500 a piece, but it's still better than nothing.
I don't know. That RM you got's pretty nice.
I appreciate that. Yeah, she's a baby. But
hey, you could have taken my old RM off my hands.
You know, I think about that thing sometimes, and I'm like, man, I had the big sister, and I every time I see an RM250, I think about yours. I'm like, damn, I should have got that thing when I had the chance.
Yeah, I built it, rode it twice, realized I am way too slow, old, and broken for this thing. That was the end of that.
But, yeah, that thing was badass, yeah. Too. I can remember seeing that thing sitting on the stand at Motorama one year.
Yep. But, that thing was sitting up there. But, no, I'm... Like I said, if you guys have any questions, you can always hit Luke up on the
Reach out to me directly, and I can
you in the direction.
I can put you right in contact with Robbie, and you guys get your bikes insured, get your gear and your parts. I mean, it's pretty awesome that this stuff is available to us, and we're involved in such an expensive sport. So every little bit of insurance, quite literally, this is insurance. Every little bit helps. And I hope you guys found this just as informative and educational as I did. And Robbie, again, man, thank you so much for your generous donation for the sponsorship for this event here down at Bud's Creek, man, the legendary Bud's Creek. I hope to see you down there, and I know you're going to be making some riders happy, finally getting to see some coin. The under-respected Woods guys finally getting a little bit of a payout thanks to you.
Thanks to me, thanks to you, and everything you guys do. Tori's been killing it, and you guys are awesome to follow, and happy to be a part of it, and hopefully we'll talk again about 2025, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, sounds good. We'll be right around the corner for the next year, planning everything out, and I would love to have you back on board for the next season. So, all right, bro, I'll let you go, man.
Good luck to everybody.
Sounds good. Again, Robbie Wiggins with Wiggins Insurance.
Talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
Peace, Rob. All right, we just wrapped up with Robbie Wiggins, the sponsor for this weekend's Pro Purse down at Bud's Creek, which is over $2,000 right now as it sits. And as promised, I now have Tegan on the line with me to give us a breakdown for the weekend. Tegan, spill the beans, bro. What are we looking at?
Well, I think a lot of questions I keep getting is how much of the motocross track we're actually going to be running. I hear some crazy rumors flying around. We're going to be riding moto one day and woods the other, this and that.
I love it. I love the grapevine.
But what we're going to be doing, we're going to be doing about 90% of the motocross track both days. We're going to do a little less on Sunday. And when I say a little less, I think one or two jumps straight away or two, but we're going to be running the majority of the track. Big Gulp is going to be in there. We're going to get to be able to ride some of the off cambers that they only do for the Pro National. I know they cut them out most of the time for the amateur races, but they're dozed in and they're still fresh from the Pro National, so they're just going to leave them in for us. So that'll be a cool feature we get to hit. Talked to the track crew, been hanging out with them some, and they're going to give us the full track prep like a normal moto day. So watering, disking, and then we're going to get a full groom Saturday night, and it's going to be fresh, ready to go again for Sunday.
No way, dude. So we're having the real, not just you and Jeff out there pretending like you guys are operators. We've got the Bud's Creek track crew out there doing the pro work.
Oh, yeah. So we'll have... We got all hands on deck here from the Buzz Creek crew.
Nice, dude.
The flag is out there watering.
Legitness. You
know, the full setup. So it's definitely going to favor some of the moto boys out there for sure. If you like to go fast and hit jumps, I think you're going to have a good shot at doing well here.
Hell yeah. No, and if you don't like doing that, tell us about the woods.
The woods are they're pretty sweet. Saturday is a little bit, I'd say, flatter. It doesn't have as much elevation as Sunday, but it's still some pretty cool stuff. It's like on a multi-line, like our normal MO. It's kind of like a floodplain almost, and it's pretty cool, the woods. It's like tall grass in the woods, and went through, and it was like cutting the grass with the brush hog.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be nice, loamy, like clay, silty sand mix most of day one, a lot of new stuff. They've had races here for years, but we managed to find some good fresh stuff to cut in for everybody. And then that'll be day one, and then day two is a lot of elevation, some like used stuff, you know. You'll be going up through some washouts. It's kind
of
like
they're right there, like on the edge of a river, right? Kind of like on the property kind of borders a river.
These trails are like real old, like probably 20, 30 years old.
The pioneers used to ride them.
Yeah, and it's big like washouts. I don't know how to describe, but they're big bowls. You get to ride up and down, and they're big banked bowls and everything, like swales.
So, hey, hang on. Back it up a second here. So you're confirming that they are two separate tracks or separate layouts rather for Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. So day two, we'll use a little bit of Saturday's track. We'll run the extreme section backwards, and then we're going to run about a quarter mile. You know, we'll probably extreme section along with the easy section will be ran backwards, and then about a quarter mile to connect to the new stuff. But we plan on getting out there Saturday night. We'll probably have Kane and the one skidder touching up the extreme section, and then I'll probably be in the woods in the other one and grooming up all the stuff we beat up on Saturday. So it'll be the same, but it'll be backwards, and it'll be all groomed and fresh. So it'll be a fresh track for Sunday for everybody.
So what does with Kane get in there? You mentioned the extreme section. What are we looking at?
We dug out a bunch of stuff today. We had Jeff pulling tires and concrete pipes and telephone poles, logs. He found some guardrails. I don't know what we're going to do with them yet, but we're going to get creative with those things. And then Kane's coming tomorrow and he'll be assembling that thing tomorrow. So should be good. Hoping to get that track preview out day one. We're hoping to get recorded and posted up tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, I've been getting some questions about that.
Yep.
And any other cool features or anything else other than the awesomeness that is Bud's Creek that you wanted to talk about as far as track layout and physical course is?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty cool, I guess it's like a pro line, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. For day two, it's going to be kind of on like the backside of the track. You'll come down, it'll be like a stick farm, and they'll drop into a ravine. And you can, you know, take the short line, and it's like a high wall almost. It's about 10, 15 feet. Not that steep, tall of a hill, but it's pretty steep. So, and, you know, the farther down the hill you make it, it'll be easier and easier and longer to go. So we threw that in there. That should be a challenging obstacle for the riders and something fun for the spectators to watch.
Nice. Pretty easy to watch. It's easy, easy access for spectators.
It is. It might be a little hard to find. It'll be behind the car track. That's another thing I want to touch base on. They're going to be racing cars here Friday night, dirt track. I don't know too many details. I just found out about it recently. But they're going to be racing Friday night and Sunday night. I was just told today they're going to be also racing Sunday night.
Cool.
So another question I keep getting is, can we camp Sunday night? Yes, you can. There is parking here that kind of the car guys use. So if you are planning on staying through Sunday, make sure you talk to the people at the gate and let them know, and we'll get you parked in a place where you can stay and not have to move.
Okay.
If you plan on staying staying over Sunday
night.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Yeah. I plan on staying. It's the holiday weekend, and I'm sure some other folks are probably planning to stay until Monday as well.
Yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be something to do Sunday night.
For sure.
We're done wrapped up and hang out and go watch some car racing.
And then what are we doing Saturday night?
We got the barrel racing. So that should be a crowd favorite, I think. I think a lot of people are excited.
So not your typical pit bike race that we normally would do. What are we doing for this one?
Yeah, not your typical pit bike race. I do keep getting those questions. It's like a time trial. It's what they do at the rodeo around the barrels. I think Cole Lang and Albert are spearheading that operation, so you can get all the details from them exactly. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure you knock over a barrel. I don't know how it works. I know you either get a penalty or your time's invalid. So it's about speed and not knocking over those barrels.
Cool. Yeah, something different, something to get everybody involved. It sounds like a good time. Yep. Obviously, pit bike racing under the lights is always a good time anyway.
Oh, yeah. Is Renee getting out there? I saw some.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to see if I can get the loaner from the neighbor here. He copped that on the low. He got one of those on a waffle, as they call it on Facebook. He got a new 110, nice. And I might have to go up into his garage and steal it for the weekend.
I think so.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So, have to get a staff team together or something.
Oh yeah, I talked to the track guys. They're gonna have that nice and tilled up for us too, so that should be sweet.
Cool. That so all seems like everything's being well perceived down there from the Buds Creek staff.
Yeah, they're pretty pumped. I don't know if they are ready for tour.
Hell yeah.
They don't know what to expect.
Nice.
It's hard to explain, you know. It's not your typical woods race. You know?
No, yeah, and they're used to having the pro guys down there. It's definitely not going to be as jam packed as that, but we'll give them a run for their money, and I'm sure we'll be just as entertaining, if not more.
Yeah, I think so. That's the goal, at least. We're a fun crowd, and I think they're excited.
Sick. Yeah, that's great to hear. Hopefully we can keep that relationship going here. We want to be coming back there for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. Facility's sweet. I think the track's going to be sweet. I know we were talking earlier in the week, and I say it every time. This one's going to be my favorite, but I haven't got the chance to do my sprint laps. I'm going to be doing those tomorrow, but just looking at it from, you know, inside the machines and walking and cutting trails, mm-hmm. it's shaping up to be a sweet one.
So. Sick.
I'm excited to get out there tomorrow, see what it's all about.
Nice, man. I'm excited too. I can't wait just to be there, first of all, put eyes on the place, never been down there before, and then just to get to spin a few laps. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible when you come in here and you go out on some of these like side roads and look down into the whole track, and mm-hmm. you see it on TV. It just doesn't do it justice.
Yeah,
Some how steep some of these hills are, some of these off cameras, you're like, even the jump size, you know, you watch mm-hmm. this guy jump the big gulp on TV, like, it's no problem. Then you get to see it in person. I'm like, ooh, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't think too many people are going to be sending that one, but we'll see. I could be wrong.
I heard there's a couple rumors of some big names. Yeah. I didn't drop any hints or name drop anybody, but I did. Okay. I did give the listeners a little bit of a tease, told them there would be some well-known moto names popping up maybe.
Yeah, I think they'll be sending it for sure. So I don't know if my sleep bike got has it.
Yeah.
Maybe busted out. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be out there trying to catch up with those guys.
Yeah.
I can picture it now. Oh boy. All right. Well, I am going to wrap this whole thing up here. I don't think, let me just ask you one more time. Any reminders or anything, that we need to go over as far as, you know, parking and the pits and, directions or anything like that, that you wanted to remind everybody of?
I guess the big thing is when you come in, there'll be, especially you guys showing up Friday. Like I said, they have that car race. So when you pull in, you got to bear right to get to our gate, and then the left will be the car racing guys. So we'll have signs out there. Should be very easy. If you're coming in Saturday, Sunday, we'll run the gate all to ourselves. So just keep an eye out for us, and we'll get that sorted out for you guys. That's about it, I think. And pre-registration's open. You guys want to get pre-registered? I know double down on your Rocky Mountain bucks this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $20 bucks. You know, put it towards whatever you may need.
Here's a question: does pre-registration close on Thursday for both race days, first Saturday and Sunday?
Yes, Thursday at midnight. Sometimes we even, let it go till early hours Friday morning. So get it in while you can.
Okay. Yep, so that again, pre-registration is over on Thursday night. And if you did not pre-register, you can still sign up for the race day of. So don't worry if you didn't pre-reg, that's fine. Just come to the registration trailer when you're signing up, and the ladies will be happy to get you all squared away.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, I guess sign up too. Another thing is if you do come sign up, you can't sign up for both days. I think at once. Touch base with Bree, but I'm pretty sure you can only sign up for one race at a time.
Gotcha. So in other words, that means, you'd have to come back on, if you're staying for the weekend and you're not pre-registered, you'll have to go up Saturday morning for Saturday's race and then come back up Sunday morning to register for that race, as the system recognizes it as two separate events.
Yes. We did talk about adding another computer. So we might have that available.
Okay.
It'll be a whole separate line. But just keep that in mind.
Got it. All right, dude. I think that just about covers all the bases for now. The countdown is on. We are just a couple days out, man. I'm pumped, and I know all the racers are. It sounds like Ranger, he was, could kind of hear it in his voice. Sounds like he's ready to go. He's excited to get back to it. And some of the other guys I was talking to on Instagram, everybody just is pumped to be going down to Bud's Creek, man. It's awesome. I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's awesome being here. Can't wait for everybody to show up.
Sweet. All right, dude. Well, man, I'm going to let you go and go do all that important stuff you got to do tonight.
Sounds great.
All right, dude. Sounds good. I'll catch up with you.